Hey friend, welcome back to the fifth season of the Life on Purpose podcast. I'm your host, Amy Debrick, and this podcast is dedicated to helping women live with courage instead of fear. These conversations are meant to offer insight, encouragement, and hope to help you move ahead in your next brave step. I pray that each conversation or coaching tip will get you that much closer to living the life on purpose God has for you. For additional encouragement and community, be sure to go to my website at amydebrick.com and sign up to receive free resources and weekly inspiration in your inbox. Also, be sure to grab a copy of my book, Embolden. This is an encouragement journal I co-wrote with my oldest daughter, Blair, and is the great first step to learning how to be brave. If you're looking for some in-person events, we've just released the dates for this year's Focus Retreat. This Christian women's event is the perfect place to escape from distractions and focus on the things that matter most to you. Last year, we had entrepreneurs, coaches, businesswomen, and thought leaders from all around the world. It's an incredible opportunity to connect with like-minded women, and if this is something you might be interested in or want to learn more about, just go to thefocusretreat.com. And finally, if you're looking to host an event with your own people, the Lake House Retreat still has some dates open for 2024, so be sure to contact me for more information. Now with that, let's dive into today's episode. I hope you enjoy. Well, welcome everyone to the Life on Purpose podcast. I love opportunities to talk to my good friends, Lori Beth and Jennifer. If you're not familiar, Lori Beth Aldridge is here. She is from Elevating Motherhood and her whole community. You need to check that out. And Jennifer Corberry is here from Make Room. She is both of them really coaching women and their expertise. Jennifer really getting women to the next level, making room, both of them, for all the things that matter most in your life, whether it's through your family and homeschooling and motherhood, or your home and organization and business. So welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Amy.
I recently, last week released a podcast episode on trading resolutions for restoration. And I think this is really just a hot topic right now among women. And the reason I think that is because I kind of just introduced this in a recent newsletter, and I had a lot of women respond to this feeling the same way and really kind of taking a cue from the winter season. I think the holidays are so busy, and the three of us, I know, just in our daily conversations, we love the holiday season. We take it all in, we do all the things, and we actually find a lot of joy in that season. But I don't know if it's because before, when my kids were little, I didn't have the time and space to really take a step back, because, you know, then you just move ahead into the next season without really thinking much about it. But in the last few years, it's been harder for me to just come off that, you know, high of a roller coaster and then really push in with like, okay, I want to accomplish this and that and have all this productivity here and everywhere else. And I really kind of just felt more of an urge to just kind of sit still. And I was telling Jennifer the other day, the newsletter I had labeled it was to calm down because I'm high strung. So I needed to just calm down, but now I'm actually kind of taking my own advice. So first, let me just ask both of you if that's, I know we've talked about all of us feeling this way, but what does really the idea of a restoration look like for both of you personally?
It feels like, first of all, I've always hated the word resolutions. Like, it's just so overdone. Like, no, that doesn't motivate anybody anymore. It's just done. So I loved when you said, let's change it to restoration. And for me, it's like giving myself this pause and the grace to allow a pause to emerge into who I want to become in the next year. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, instead of running with this list of New Year's resolutions that I feel obligated to do, right? Which we could all say the same things every single year. We want to lose some weight that we gained during the holidays. We want to, you know, get out of some debt from all the holiday rush. We want to do this and this and this, but it's really like, for me, it's time to sit back by myself before I rush into any new plan or new to-do list and ask myself, what do I want this year to look like? and what do I want? Like, who do I want to become, more importantly, this year? So to me, that's where really what I've used this restoration season to think about is like, who do I want to become? And what do the habits and routines every day of everyday life have to look like in order for me to become that person? When I say, who do I want to become? Like, when I look back at the end of 2024, next December, when I reflect, how will I have grown? How will I have, you know, kind of leveled up to where I want to go with my business? How will I maintain a nurturing relationship with my children and husband? You know, it's like, I think a lot of times we have to have restoration in order to even think clearly. Otherwise, like you said, when our kids were little, we're just jumping from season to season, like the hamster wheel with no time for reflection. And so that's part of it. But the other part is, and we've talked about this, after the holidays, and you and I are in the same boat where our kids are gone and they come home. So we're just like extra crazy now, or we're like everything. We're just so excited to have them back in the house. And it was very, very busy. And there was people in and out of my house and I was hosting a lot. And now, frankly, I'm tired out, right? Mm-hmm. I needed a rest. And that's the other part of restoration. I needed to rest and not feel like I have to keep pushing myself, because what's the point of coming up with all these plans if you're so exhausted you can't even execute them?
Yeah. One mm-hmm. thing that I do love that you said, well, a few things, but I think it's really nice that you had mentioned when we're talking about resolutions, and I agree, I feel like it's such an overused word, and I feel like it doesn't even hold the weight that we want it to. You know, we've given it some definition that really now almost doesn't mean anything. Half the time people don't hold to their resolutions anyway, but it's more than just the dollar. And I think a lot of times when people are making resolutions, it's so like, even though you named, you know, within that, yes, there's different things that people want to, you know, whether it's level up in their business or life, but it's also, I mean, most of that answer for you is more of just a personal growth in how that all plays in it together, but it's not the sole thing. And I think a lot of times these New Year's expectations are always, it always has to do with prosperity, but in the dollar form, instead of mm-hmm. just prosperity in your inner self. It's that shift for me of the outward thinking where I view a resolution as opposed to the inward, like you're talking about, and how do I want to have grown in 2024? Not just how much money do I want to make? How much more do I want to, you know, accrue and things I want to buy and all of that, but who am I going to be in 2024? And what have I done? Even more importantly, that you said, what practices have I put into place to make sure that happens? So I love that.
Well, even if you want to, for example, make more money in 2024, which many, many people do, myself sure. included, I have to grow into that next level of income. So mm-hmm. it's still inner work. Or sure. if I want to pivot in a career, I have to grow into that. I have to work on my mindset first. I have to become a person that believes that's even possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Lori Beth?
Oh man, all the good things. Because you're right, we have to be the person who believes that these things are possible, which means that we need to sit down and in a state of rest without distractions, figure out what that looks like and what the steps are to get to that space. It's so interesting. I have so many notes written down, Jennifer, from your awesome things you were talking about. It is habits that we have to foster in order for our goals to be met. And it's taking the time to sit down and do that. I'll give you like a super mundane example from my life. I am moving into a new house. I have a whole list of things that I want to get done. And a couple of those things include restoring two dressers, right? And I'm like, oh, I don't have time for that because I have four little kids at home and we're homeschool and it's winter time. And who wants to be out in the cold in the shop doing that and all of this? But I have to make time for that. And winter has become my excuse to stop and slow down and actually take the time to do this. And I have to tell you that I finished my 10-year-old's dresser the other day, minus the knobs, which we're going to go thrift for, which will also be exciting. That's a moment of rest and connection too, right? Like doing that adventure together and looking forward to it. And those little things matter. The details matter. What knobs she has on her dresser matter. The fact that her mama did that, restored that for her, and, you know, especially for her, just her face, it was so worth it. Even her sister's faces, you know, just little details like that. But, you know, we lived on Maui for almost 20 years. So we never had winter. We were summer girls all the time. You're just called to be summer girls all the time. There was no winter. It was just, you had to find rest very intentionally because the weather was never going to give you that break. And now that this is our second winter and we now live in the snow belt, which is no joke, it's obvious to me, God's design is so beautiful. And I'm seeing it in a way that I've never seen it before. Like, yes, I grew up in snow, but whenever I was a kid, I wasn't shoveling it. I wasn't looking around and going, ooh, ah, this is so beautiful. Look at these giant snowflakes. Maybe I was. I don't remember it, but I do remember it now. And really giving into this season of winter and getting closer to God's design, I feel like are called to and are supposed to nourish ourselves in every season. And that includes winter time. And nourishing our body, mind, and spirit in winter does not look the same as nourishing our body, mind, and spirit in summer, spring, or fall. There are reasons that there's a reason for the season. Oh man, this is good, guys. But I feel like we always talk about there are seasons of life, there are seasons of motherhood, while we also ignore the literal seasons. And so, you know, I want to encourage people who are setting goals for themselves, like they want to be down 10 pounds and up 10 million, you know, like I'm cheering you on. I also think we have to be realistic in that and realize our role has a lot more to do with rest and self-reflection and self-discipline. And we don't have time for self-reflection and self-discipline and habit building unless we acknowledge that we need rest. We need to give in to how we feel. We need to tune into our intuition. How is our body feeling? Do we need more sleep? I don't know about you guys, but every single person in my house is like, man, I just feel like I need more sleep. And I'm like, yes. It's winter, you know, we're socializing a little bit less, you know, out of sheer, like we can't get out of the driveway, but it feels right. It doesn't feel wrong or like we're missing out. There is no FOMO. Instead, it's like, I am supposed to be home and this feels right. And it's in that giving in to the need for rest and the winter calling us to rest that I feel like I'm actually getting closer to healthy habits that are going to get me to those goals. It's not the high energy, go, 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 let's go to aerobics 5 times a week, you know, because that's what you do. Great. But I feel like that is like our culture's message of like, you got to sign up for the gym membership. You got to do this. You got to do that. Well, if I signed up for a gym membership because the world told me to, I'm like wasting my money. Cause like I said, I can't even get out of my driveway.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, and I think that there's something to be said for that. You know, that's what I mean. Like when we're talking about taking cues from the season, I don't think it's accidental. And the way God designs stuff. And I think sometimes, I know at least for my personality, who I always say I'm, you know, more high strung, and you both know that. Sometimes I need that forced situation. Now, granted, somebody who's living in a tropical island right now might be not feeling that, right? Because they have a different energy than we do. But I do think there is something to be said. And like you said, Lori Beth, and maybe if you are that person, then your intentionality to find rest is going to look different. But for most of us, even when you're living in Florida, you know, they have cold, like Texas just got snow. There is something to be said about appreciating that shift and really giving into it, not as some type of sign of laziness. So that's the other thing I kind of want to talk about. I think there's also stereotypes. And I think this is part of why women especially are reluctant to lean in to this restful season, feeling good about it. I think we're always questioning it like, oh, I should be doing more. What is my problem? Like, how come I'm not feeling it today? And, you know, the three of us have had this conversation many times. And I do agree, Lori Beth, I think we do need more rest. Like, I know I need more rest sometimes just the way life is running. But I do also think certain seasons, it's darker earlier. There's different signs that are really kind of inviting us in, but we are so resistant. And I think a lot of times is because we get caught up in the stereotypes of, well, I must not be working hard enough. I must not be motivated enough. I'm lazy with my goals or whatever. And that's really not any of it. I really think that you can be more productive in the next season if you really just embrace the season of rest that you're in, and then coming at the next season just more, you know, ready to go and feeling totally restored, instead of, I always call it like that lingering, you know, entering it with lingering fatigue of things that you didn't accomplish. And now you're bringing them to the even, you know, another season. Like, just dive into the season that you're in without this guilt and shame. I don't know that men feel it as much as women. I know the men in my household do not struggle with that, but I do think that women get a little bit more hung up on that, you know, the productivity. And if we are not doing something, then we don't feel like we're contributing. Does that make sense? Do you guys know what I'm saying there? Like, or have you ever felt that way? Because I think that that can be a really big sticking point for women to not sit down and make a list of goals and start checking them off January 1st. I mean, you literally could, I mean, I could sit down now, use this whole winter time as a reflection of, like you said, Jennifer, where do I really want to grow now? What do I need to like remove off my list that I carried over from 2023 that does not even important anymore, and really fine tune that. That way, when the, you know, sun comes out and spring's here and we've got a new energy, I'm really ready to tackle that, because now I really have a better handle on what does matter most to me and how can I really accomplish those goals.
I feel like it's really about balance. And I know that balance has become a controversial word. Some people think there's no such thing. I don't believe there's no such thing as balance. Honestly, I have lived my life around the seasons for years. So I don't feel guilty when I have a season of restoration, really, because I know that I'm more productive in other seasons, or even certain days of the month, I can be more productive. So I've learned over the years, I think I was more like that as a younger mom, but now with more experience under my belt, I realize that my productivity and my motivation is going to kind of wave in and out throughout the month, throughout the week, throughout the year. And I am okay with honoring like my mind and my body and listening to that rather than feeling guilty if I am in a state of rest, because quite frankly, they're all important. And I know, like, for example, summer is craziness here and I have way more to do and way more socializing and way more running around. And I don't want to be doing a lot of tasks that I'm responsible for. So I get them done before summer. Or like now, I feel like if I didn't slow down, I wouldn't have this ability to have more clarity. Because when you're rushing, like, I'll tell you right now, I won't have as much clarity in the summertime because I'm so busy doing and just enjoying the season. But this time of year, I'm okay with putting the fireplace on and just vegging out and, you know, reading more or not moving so fast. I'm okay with that because this is honestly a season where I will get more downloads from God. I'll feel like I can hear him more clearly because I'm not so busy. And so I've learned to have that kind of ebb and flow throughout the year. And I do believe they're all equally important for my well-being.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Oh, Jennifer, that's so nice. Oh my gosh. And I also, it motivates me to want to make a list of tasks that I want to get done before summer, because I think that sounds fantastic, actually, because we do have a little bit more time and space. Although I do like to use that a little bit more of time and space for more restful things. And Amy, you were talking about stereotypes, and I actually think it's a different type of stereotypes that kind of get in our way too. Stereotypes about what productivity is and what rest looks like for people. So as women, we have been told that like we have these unrealistic expectations of ticking 25, 30 things off of a list in one day. And if we are not like actively working through that list, I mean, we will die with a to-do list undone. I mean, that's just how it is. All of us. Yeah. And we're just going to have to come to Jesus with that one, you know, and start knowing that and understanding that and not feeling like failures just because we haven't ticked off every single box. And that takes a lot of time. It takes that rest and moments of self-reflection to make peace with that. But also, what is actual life-giving rest? You know, there's the stereotypes of go get a mani-pedi, which I like. I don't find it very restful, but I enjoy it. Or a hot bubble bath. That to me is rest. Oftentimes though, I have a kid jumping in. So does that count as rest or is it mothering? You know, like where's the line, right? Where's the line? So we have to really take that time to sit down and reflect on what rest means to us. Believe it or not, ironically, that dresser that I was telling you about was rest for me. Some people think that sitting down and having a chance to scroll on your phone is rest. I don't think that scrolling social media is life-giving rest. I don't think that it's actually restful. I think that between the blue light affecting our circadian rhythm and then the stress of the information overload, I don't find it to be very restful personally. But there are many women who believe that they deserve the time and space to sit down and do that. And it is that energy that we bring to it too. Like, I deserve this moment to sit down and do what it is I want to do. And so we have this pent up, like, I need rest. And instead of actually doing something that is life-giving, painting this with my favoriteest color, that was so restful, even though it was quote unquote work. And technically other people would put that in the productivity thing of like, I am checking that off the list of things that I need to get done. But actually that what for me was more in the rest area because it was soothing for me and it felt good. And I was doing it with love and intention for my daughter. And so that was actually a restful activity. Scrolling, Nah. Like, but I didn't come to that dresser with like, I deserve time and space to complete this project. But a lot of times we come to like not life-giving things with like, I deserve time and space to sit down and get this mani-pedi. I deserve time and space to sit here and scroll on our phones. I deserve a night out with my girlfriends. If we could just get rid of that energy and our intention behind that, I think that we would find that we can change how it is activities are filling us up and making way for them to be more life-giving rather than like, then it becomes productivity, right? I'm checking this off the box. I deserve this. I have the girls' night out. I'm going to check it off. And then they get confused, they get muddled. So, and I think it has a lot to do with the energy that we bring to the table. And so we need to sit down and reflect on that. Am I doing things that I think are quote unquote restful because I think I deserve it? Or am I doing it because I need life-giving support right now?
Yeah. Before we finish, because I want to go around and actually, I want everybody to share here what their best practice is of restoration, what that looks like, what that feels like, because I do agree with you, Lori Beth. I think that sometimes, and I'm not saying that it is or isn't for a woman if she wants to take an hour at night to do whatever, but I do think sometimes there's a different approach to it and a different expectation you're getting from it. And so I would, for me, it's similar to you. And I think Jennifer as well, but let's share our best practice. But before that, I think it was Jennifer, when you were talking, you were saying how it also, when you are being intentional about just embracing the quietness of this season, because there is a lot of quiet and it actually is. I mean, Lori Beth, for you, quiet's going to look differently, right? Because with four littles, I know what that's like. And, you know, with one little, and it's never technically quiet, but there's a stillness this time of year. There's a stillness in the air. There's a stillness because it's dark, like I said earlier. And so Jennifer, when you were saying that and being intentional about embracing it is when you get more downloads from God. And it's so funny that you said that because my brother at his house, my sister-in-law has a print hung up in one of their guest bathrooms. And every time I use the bathroom there, I read it and I think I need to get this print. And it said, "Listen carefully, for the world is loud and God whispers." And when you said that, I immediately thought that because it is so true. I think without these intentional rest periods and seasons that He created for us, I think these are opportunities. And sometimes I think they're missed opportunities because we don't really see them for what they truly can be and how life-changing and life-giving, like you said, Lori Beth, they can be. And so that wording, when you said that, immediately brought me to that quote. And it's in Proverbs, actually, Proverbs 15:1. So I just think that that's a beautiful, it just to me encapsulates this whole message of this season. But before we wrap up, I do want everybody to take turns. I will tell you to start that my best practice for restoration is baking. And it's not a productivity thing. It actually gives me joy. I'm so relaxed. I love it. I don't have to do it for any particular. Now, I like baking over the holiday. And there are things, Lori Beth, that I make every year. And that is kind of a little bit of a productivity because it's a checklist, right? Like things that I know that I want to make, or people know that I know that people want me to make, they expect me to make. But in general, baking on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon, just random and just taking my time and all of that, I find great rest and joy in that. That brings me like so much happiness. And it sounds ridiculous, especially for someone who hates baking. But that's why I think it's important to share what unique things, practices that we all have that really speak into a rest, you know, restorative period. So what about you guys?
I think for me, it's really about my morning and evening routine. So when I am not in a rush to get out the door or to see a client or something, my favorite thing is to do is to just like get up, sit by a window, make a cup of matcha, and like just do a combination of reading and journaling and just not have to be in a rush. And that's when I get like my best ideas. That's when I get my head on straight. It's very life-giving for me. Mm-hmm. It's like self-care that lasts the rest of the day. I don't do it every single day like I wish I would, because I would, you know, there's just certain days, quite frankly, I'd have to get up earlier and I need that rest in my bed. So it's like, but I love doing it. And then I've always really, you know, I think I was telling you guys this the other day, I've always been a person that at like 8 o'clock at night, I'm just done. Like, that's just my rest time, because I can't work and go to sleep. Like, I can't come home from an event and go to sleep. I can't come home. Like, I used to, you know, if I go and play a sport, I can't come home and just hit the pillow. I have to have like this decompressing hour to 2 hours. And I've always needed it. And I know that about myself. So my evening routine is equally as important, where I usually will stop, you know, basically anything to do with work, really any conversations with people. And I'll just, you know, again, drink something warm and soothing and sit down and watch a show and not feel guilty about it, or read a book and just unwind. And it's the way that I get my brain to stop thinking, I guess, about all the stuff that I had to do during the day. So I feel like those are the bookends for a successful day for me. And other things include baths. This time of year, I take a lot of baths. Mm-hmm.
Ditto.
Like, I don't do it in the spring and summer ever. Mm-hmm. But this time of year, it's dark early. I will take an Epsom salt bath, two, three times a week. And just enjoy that. And really, I also liked, and this sounds so funny, this again could be productive for some people, but this time of year, I give myself a lot of days where I literally, usually it's on the weekend, where I'll spend an entire day at home. I don't do any errands. I just do what I want to do in my home, like enjoying my home, whatever that looks like. For you, Amy, it looks like baking. For me, it probably looks like, you know, decluttering a closet, or, you know, getting on my computer and just playing around with a new creative idea for a course I'm doing, or doing rebranding. Like, that's fun for me for like work, but it's not something that stresses me out. It's just fun. It's like a creative outlet. And I think all these things that we're saying are all creative outlets. Like baking's a creative outlet. Lori Beth, painting's a creative outlet. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, that kind of stuff is a creative outlet, or it could be writing. So the three of us are very creative people. So if you're a creative that listens to this, you'll understand what I'm saying, that can be like self-care for you, because it's all in here in your brain and we have to get it out. So, but I feel like just having those days this time of year where I'm home and I don't have to rush is so special. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to Amy, what you were saying about the quiet. And for me right now, I'm having a lot of days home alone, like me and my dog, which mm-hmm. way more than I've ever had. And I was asking myself this last weekend because we had the snowstorm. There was 2 days I was home. Josh was working. And now, you know, I'm coming off that fun holiday season where all the kids are home, their friends are in and out, and now it's quiet again. And I started to like, I really checked in with myself because I was like, wow, what? This is night and day, right? This is night and day. And I asked myself, am I okay? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like, or am I sad? And it was like, I really leaned on more, I'm just missing them, but I actually am okay with the quiet and the alone time. And I think sometimes we feel like if we had that, we wouldn't be okay. But I really encourage women listening to embrace that time, because if you can be okay with being alone and it being quiet, like you can give yourself so much care and so much nurturing that you need as moms, because we're always nurturing everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I feel like it's a kind of a different season, but I'm trying to, again, embrace the season I'm in and like, what am I supposed to be learning now? And I do feel under the current is something happening, but I'm not quite sure what that's going to look like yet.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, especially with the older kids and the kids traveling back home. I mean, Addie's still here with me, but and with her with sports, there's many evenings I'm here by myself. And at first I was the same. I think you have to kind of do a self-assessment. Like, am I actually good with this? I was kind of like, yeah, I think I'm craving something that I've never actually had the opportunity to have before. And when I was mm-hmm. in it, of course I never craved it, because I pride myself on, I love being a mother in all the seasons. So this is just a new season and I want to love this season as well. And so it wasn't any slight to myself or to my children or my husband or anything like that. It's just a new season that we're in. And I agree. I think it's important to be okay and really kind of relish in that solitude, because I feel like that's a gift of this season that we're in. You know, we have our children away, which we wouldn't prefer, but we know that they're thriving and this is something that they need to be doing at this time in their life. And so why shouldn't we independently be thriving in a different way, where we're really appreciating something that we didn't have the opportunity to have before? We didn't miss it, right? Because we never had it, but now it's nice. And I think I agree with you. There were moments where I was like, you know, this is actually kind of nice. Like, Addie has practice tonight and it might be kind of nice to just have a minute just to kind of regroup and whatever. And with no big expectation, no big game plan, but just to enjoy the time alone, the quiet. So yeah, I hear you with that. I 100% agree.
I think too, a lot of times, you know, I'm sure just saying that, like women look at other seasons like, oh, I would love that season. That would be great. Like Lori Beth, I'm sure there's days where you wish you were at a day like Amy and I.
Oh,
and there's
for sure.
so many days when you're talking about the kids, I wish I was back in your season. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like what I've learned throughout life is that just, and you know, it's cliche, but to embrace the season we're in, because it doesn't last as long as you think it's going to last. It's very short lived. And I remember the season when I first moved from Florida to North Carolina and I had like no friends and Josh was working and I was alone a lot. It was very similar to the season I'm in right now. I had a dog and I had me, and it was me and the dog home alone. And I remember thinking, wow, I'm really lonely, because I was young and I was used to having lots of friends and I hadn't formed a friend group in that state yet. And I felt like, oh my gosh, what am I missing out on? There's people probably out Friday night doing stuff. And I wish I had a friend group like I did in Florida or New York. And it was like a hard adjustment. Do you know how many times in my adult life I've looked back on that season fondly and like, ah, oh, I learned so much about myself that season. Mm-hmm. Because I was stuck with nobody else to deflect but look at myself and look inward and listen. And really, if I hadn't gone through that season, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I would not be where I am today, because I learned so much about the pivots and the changes I wanted to make in my life during that season. So now when that happens to me, I'm like, okay, God, you're doing a work in me, and I have to be, you know, quiet and calm and listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You guys, I'm gushing. I know you guys aren't as emotional as I am, but I've gotten verklempt in like twice in the last 5 minutes. Like, it does fly by. Nothing gets me more than the notion that babies don't keep, and that these seasons are just so temporary. And as I'm just watching them, oh, grow and change. And like, I'm so close to your season and yet so far away with a 2-year-old, you know, but it's just going to be a blink of an eye and go from there. And it's in knowing that and remembering that and trying to be present in the season that I'm in that has really helped me. And so when, Jennifer, you were talking about your best practices, I actually had a visceral reaction to you saying, like, I sit by the window and I like inhaled really deeply, because I love that notion. And it's just, I think, something that we long for so very much is that moment to sit down by the window and just, why, what are we looking at? Why the window? It's because the outside is so beautiful no matter what season it is. And ironically, when you were asking about best practices, Amy, truthfully, the thing that has helped me most, and especially ironically in this last 2 years, has been making sure that I don't complain about the weather. Because we live in a culture where small talk is, oh my gosh, it's so cold outside. Oh my gosh, it's so hot outside. I don't know about you, but my grandparents, well, they're farmers, right? So like both sides, like they talk about the weather all the time. You're at the checkout in the grocery store, people comment on the weather, you know, you don't know what to say to your in-laws, you're talking about the weather. Like you just are like, that's what you do. But the default in our culture is to complain about it all the time. And so if you can form the self-discipline and hold on to it to make sure you are not complaining about the weather, you can sit by the window any day of the year and have that moment of like, God is so good. Look at this creation. Look at what this weather is today. This is a gift. And it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's like the 7th day of snow or the 8th day of rain or whatever it is, like we needed this right now for some reason. Then it's not up to you. You can't control the weather. So like, why sit around and complain about it? You know, I don't want my kids to feel like, I don't want to give them that example either, you know, of like, oh, it's raining again today. Blah. You know, I don't want them to grow up with that sort of attitude. So one of my best practices is not complaining about the weather. And I also try to see the quiet moments as a gift and not take them for granted. So instead of being like, oh, the kids have all gone to bed, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, you know, either like get stuff done that I can't do when they're awake and around and crazy, or like I deserve some downtime right now, you know, instead of, I get rid of that language in my life. I don't deserve anything. My time is not my own. And if I start to try to like start taking it back and gripping it too tightly, I mean, it already slips out of our hands so quickly anyway. So why like have a death grip on it, right? My time is not my own. So when I do have quiet, it's good. And you describing being home alone with a dog made me realize that I actually have the habit right now of waking up before the kids and letting Odin, our giant, giant dog, in. And it's just he and I in the kitchen. And truthfully, it's only for 15 minutes at a time. But what you guys have helped me realize this morning that like, who am I gushy about, is that this is a habit that is going to help me get more comfortable being home alone, just me and the dog, whatever dog that is later on down the road, you know, when my kids are gone, because I will have that familiarity. I will have that, you know, 15 minutes that I've enjoyed every day for 20 years, you know, and now it's not going to feel so foreign and so emptiness and such a shock. It's just like this, it's unfolded slowly over the seasons and I don't take it for granted. And so when my kids wake up, I don't have to be like super angry that my quiet time is now gone. Instead, I see that quiet time as a gift, that actually this is a slow trickle that will lead me to more peace and calm and acceptance of that quiet season that will come way too soon.
Well, you know what, Lori Beth, too, that I love is when we're all sharing these practices. I mean, baking is one of mine, of course, but I like
mine drawing. Too. I love it.
Drawing is relaxing to me. just doodling, coloring. I know that sounds pathetic. That's my,
no, it's awesome.
That's my Kentucky evening routine, is sitting on the porch and just coloring and whatever. But what I love about it too, is that I've noticed, and Jennifer, you may have noticed this already, and Lori Beth, you could also, with your children being younger, is that your children also adopt some of these best practices of rest. And if they never see you resting, I think that, you know, there's something to be said for that as well. And what's funny is, when you were talking about, you know, this is the time of year, and I think most people would agree, when you're taking more baths, and I'm the same way. And I'm always like, the minute my kids used to call when they're, you know, once they moved out, I was like, you know, if the minute you feel like you're getting sick, you know, put a cup of Epsom salt in the tub, and at the very least, soak your feet in there, and blah, blah, blah. And so my older son called the other day, and I was like, oh, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just watching football and soaking my feet in Epsom salt. And I was
That's awesome.
Like, I felt so good. I felt like that was like a mom win. But I was like, that's going to be a practice now, that a go-to practice for whether he felt like he was might be coming down with something, or he just needed to relax. And I thought, you know, when we're talking about this today, it is amazing how much our children will mirror our practices, our best practices, and our worst practices. So to your point, Lori Beth, when you're talking about complaining, you know, about the weather or this or that, and we are around that. Nobody's foreign to hearing people that it's never the right season, never the right time of year, never the right time. There used to be a woman years ago when my oldest daughter was young, and my friend and I at the time, it just was so outstanding. This one mom would come, and it would, same thing, Lori Beth, it was either too hot, it was too cold, it was too rainy. We would joke after a while, and we'd be like, it's just too perfect today. It's too perfect. It's too this and that. And I do think that there is something to be said for just appreciating what is in front of us, what season we're in, and all of that, and really embracing it. So I really appreciate you guys sharing today. I think it's really going to help a lot of women, not just have the, you know, a lot of times too, when we bring up topics, and I, you know, when I gave that blanket statement last week on trading resolutions for restorations, some women might be like, well, what does that mean? And what is that going to look like? So I really appreciate you speaking kind of life into that for someone who might not have given that the thought and intention that maybe they need to really enjoy the season for what it is. Anybody listening today, be sure to follow Jennifer and Lori Beth. You can also follow all of us at the Focus Retreat, and we'll be having more conversations like this in each other's on each other's podcasts, as well as in the Focus Retreat. But thanks for tuning in. And for the woman who needed to have permission to rest today, we're giving it to you. Well, friends, that's it for us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing to the Life on Purpose podcast. I'll see you back here next week. But in the meantime, don't forget to live your life on purpose. God bless.